He valued his son more than his own life, and he was ready to give it up. And in the case of Hazrat Ismail, his son, he was ready to give up his life. So if you wish, the real true meaning of Eid al-Adha is the celebration of death. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَاتُ الْمَوْتِ. That everyone is going to taste death. Hajj is once in a lifetime, and death is also once in a lifetime. It is perhaps the most important occasion in our lives. We don't like to hear the word death. That is why we don't think about it. That is why we don't remember it. To taste death is very hard for us. Yet Allah Ta'ala says, for the believer, death is passing from one space into another. There is a continuation. There is another life. Another life without sickness, without pain, during which we don't even have to pray anymore or fast anymore. We don't eat, we eat, but we don't go to the bathroom. It is a very different kind of life for the believer, for the one who spends this short life on the face of this planet, as Allah Ta'ala has meant us to do. Now there is a key, there is a formula which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suggests what we should do to be able to pass through this space to the next space, and to make sure that this eternal life afterwards is a good life instead of a bad life. He says, Mutu qabla an tamutu, die before dying. How do you die before dying? How do you die when you can still see, you can still hear, you can still speak? Your heart is still beating, and your hands and feet are still moving. Well, we have experienced not to be an animal, while essentially 90% being an animal during the month of Ramadan, simply by abstaining from the habits and the desires and the actions of an animal. So to die before dying could be for simple people like ourselves, because it has higher meanings, but for us it suffices that we abstain from what is worldly in us. We abstain from loving this world. We abstain from making this world, making us to forget Allah. We have seen that we have to step on people to advance. We abstain from taking things and prefer to give things. We abstain to eat to live rather than living to eat. We try to lift ourselves from the attractions of this world. And there is a hadith which says that the amount you raise yourself from this world and from the concerns of this world, you come closer to Allah that distance. But in reality, it is much more so. If we raise ourselves from this world this much, I would say that we will come closer to Allah Ta'ala this much, at least 10 times more, or even much more. For Allah Ta'ala says that if you do something for my sake, if you sacrifice something for my sake, I will give you it 10 times more. So the meaning of this coming Eid is to remind us of death. Rasulullah, when it was time for him to leave this world, he gathered his people around him and he said that soon, by the will of Allah Ta'ala, I will leave you and go to him. But he said, when I leave you with 2 great teachers as great as I am. One of these teachers is a talking teacher, one of these teachers is a silent teacher. Ya Rasulullah, who is the talking teacher and who is the silent teacher which you say you are leaving with us, who are as great as you are? The talking teacher are the words of Allah Ta'ala in the Quran al-Kareem. The silent teacher, said he, is the remembrance of death. One day, when he was talking to his people, he was talking so beautifully that everybody was shedding tears. A man came and sat, and he heard the same thing, and he couldn't cry. He was really desperate, unhappy, and ashamed, not being able to cry. And at the end, when Rasulullah finished talking and everybody left, he stayed behind and he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, you spoke so incredibly beautiful and in desperation of unworthiness, you know, everybody was shedding tears, but I couldn't cry, although I heard the same thing. Why, Ya Rasulullah? Poor man, said he, because your heart is hardened and it has turned into stone. You don't feel anything. It's true, said the man. It is true, I don't really feel any love, any sympathy, any pity. I don't feel anything. But why, Ya Rasulullah, has my heart turned into stone? poor man, your heart has turned into stone because it loves this world and this temporal life, and instead of loving Allah Ta'ala. Indeed, said the man, it's true. There is really no other love except the love of this world. There is really no care for me except the care of this world. It is true, Ya Rasulullah, but why? He said, poor man, because you have never remember your end, your death. There is one thing and one thing sure in the future. You cannot say that you will be able to be in your house tomorrow. Your house may burn. You cannot say that you will be able to go to your job tomorrow because you may lose it, or your car will not work. You don't know what is going to happen the next minute, nor next day, nor next week, next month, next year. But there is one thing which is absolutely sure, and we all know, that we all will die very soon. What is the benefit of remembering that? One is that we will not be so stupid as throwing our time away. Time is the most valuable thing. Allah Ta'ala has given to us a very specific amount of time. And as you all know, we have thrown it away for nothing. We have thrown it away to pigs. All of us, we have been brought to this world for a certain purpose. First, we don't know what it is. Second of all, even if we do know what it is, we don't do it. We say, we will do it tomorrow, mañana, that we are lazy. Third of all, that we have to accumulate knowledge. Rasulullah says, seek knowledge even if China. Allah Ta'ala says, the one who knows, is he the same who does not know? We don't learn. Our knowledge is minimal. Two, and most importantly, that we have been sent a book from Allah Ta'ala, and for those of us who don't know how to read and who don't know Arabic, or who are too stupid to read the Quran and contemplate on it, He has brought amongst us, in the shape of ourselves, a perfect human being. We know what he did, we know how he looked, we know how he ate, we know how he slept. He did everything 1,500 years ago, granted, but everything which we do today. And he did it the way Allah Ta'ala wanted him to do it. And we should know it, and we should try to copy it, because our eternal future depends on it. And all this necessitates that this life my mother is gone, my father is gone, my grandparents are gone, my friends are gone, Rasulullah is gone, Roosevelt is gone, Hitler is gone, Napoleon is gone, and everybody is gone but me. No, I will not go. I will be here always. So I don't have to think that this life will end. And there are lots of things which there is to do before this life ends. Salaam alaikum. It is said that this world is a farm, that we are supposed to plant things here, tend them and water them and take care of them, but the harvest is in the hereafter. If you don't plant them, and tend them and water them and take care of them, you will have nothing in the hereafter. Once I asked my people to make an accounting. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, make your accounting before you have to make your accounting, simply of material things. And I remember Zahra came with more or less an approximate answer. Have you ever thought, during your lifetime, how much you ate? How many fields of wheat you have eaten when you are eating bread? How many herds of cows and sheep have you devoured up to now? And how many vegetable gardens worth of tons and tons of tomatoes and cucumbers and leeks and onions has passed through your body. Lakes of water which you have drank. How much oxygen you have turned into carbon dioxide. And what have you given in return? Where is Zahra? Now she came out with some incredible numbers. You can sit down and calculate how much meat you eat, you know, and how much of the sheep weighs, and you know, how many sheep have you devoured, and how much water you drink, you know, a day, and just multiply it, you know, to your life. And how much water you have drunk. Ah, but I paid for it, really. We are so spoiled by our Creator. So spoiled. Here I am back to make you feel miserable. And today, as I said to somebody earlier, that they want to print the things which I said and which I wrote during the past 30, 40 years. And first I thought that it was stupid, you know, who am I to make the things which I talk about to be printed in a book, you know, for people to read. Then, you know, they translated the things which I saw and we wrote in English into Turkish, and they sent it to me, and I was reading it today, and I noticed, thanks to Allah Ta'ala, that none of the things which I am saying to you tonight, and I have said to you, you know, all these years, and I have written, is really from me, because I don't know anything. I am as ignorant as you are. But the difference between you and I is that I care for you and I love you. And I also am a little bit, I must say, selfish, because I don't want to go and bring my fire to the other side either. I want to be a little bit of a human being myself. So both for myself and for you, I have looked, I have read, I have listened, and I have chosen the things which really concerns us. And I have, from the words which I have heard, some of them are very difficult to understand, I tried to understand them, and whatever I understood, I put it into an understandable language, both for me and for you, and I have either said it or wrote it. So none of them is mine, absolutely zero, none. But at the same time, I felt today, perhaps it really is valuable. I mean, all those things which you have heard from me, which are not mine, and which you have read from me, which are not mine, if we would have retained 1/1000th of it, and if we would have acted on 1/10,000th of it, we would have been quite okay. But even by remembering some of it and by acting some of it, alhamdulillah, we are the way you are and the way we are, which is not certainly as bad as what we would have been without. I have very little time left. Alhamdulillah, many of you have much more time. Don't throw pearls to the pigs. Throw your time away. Learn and try to act on things which you learn. Ezan herhalde geldi, duymadım ama.
Ezan geldi. Çayları göndereyim mi geliyor yoksa? Çay getir.
Yok yok yok, çayları içelim de al. Çayları göndereyim mi geliyor? Well, we haven't been together for over 2 months. So if you have any questions, not necessarily of what we are talking about, but anything which you wish to ask, again, you see, don't leave it to mañana and ask it now.
Bir soru var, alabilir miyim hocam? Bir soru var. Bir soru var.
Dinliyorum. Kimde?
Bu hanımda. Ayşe'nin yanında oturan.
My question is, I have curiosity to know what your teacher have in mind when they come to United States of America. What message he came in? What message he bring here?
Sizin mürşidiniz Amerika'ya gelirken ne mesajla geldi merak ediyorum. Mesajı neydi Amerika'ya?
The same, I am just imitating him. The same as what I am trying to do. Some of us know one thing more than you know, and it is our duty to teach that to you. Allah Teala says, the one who he loves most amongst his creation are the ones who love him and who try to make other people love Allah, and what is the most difficult part is to make Allah love them. So that is something which I think everybody probably would want to be the favorite of Allah Ta'ala. And so Muzaffer Efendi rahmetullahi aleyh, as many sincere teachers in the field of spiritual things is simply to somehow make people realize that there is a creator who created them, and he loves what he created, and who feeds them, who keeps them safe, and who sometimes tests them, and who tries to lead them, you know, in their lives to do the right things, and eventually takes them to himself and puts them in his paradise for an eternal life. And obviously a entity such as this, who gives you all these things, including your own life and the eternal life, is somebody which one should be thankful to and should bow. Now, the difficult thing is how to make the Creator love the creature. By making the creature lovable, I presume. That's what Muzaffer Efendi, as all teachers would or should do, did. Of course, he was a much greater teacher because his knowledge was vast, much, 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 much more than what I know, and he was also extremely ambitious, you know, for his people to be good. But why are you concerned about Muzaffer Efendi, who is, alas, no longer here? Now, I have a question to you that obviously you have heard about him, and you may have even heard him in tapes and me translating for him. Why, what do you think he came to America for?
I think
to become a famous guru?
I think he came for love. When he came, he met so many beautiful young adults with love in their hearts. So he saw that heart like he wants soil to put his seeds to next generation to change the history of Muslim community in the world.
She answered good. Çok muhabbeti ve sevgisi vardı insanlara karşı. Kalbinde bu sevgiye ihtiyaç duyan ve bu sevginin benzeri olan gençlerin içine bir tohum ekti. Böylece dünyadaki Müslümanların geleceğini değiştirdi.
impressions are true, it is as if you were there. Except Muzaffar Efendi did not really care about the material well-being of his people. He cared about the spiritual well-being of the people, which at the time I never understood. I remember once we were in Hajj, and we had a dervish called Raghib Baba, who was an incredible person. In fact, you know, we all tried to learn how to serve from him. He was a devoted servant, a butler, if you want to, of Muzaffar Efendi. I mean, all his needs, he would, you know, try to satisfy. And I remember that once Raghib Baba became so sick that, you know, he was about to die, in the Hajj. And I remember that I suggested that to sacrifice my Hajj and to, with Ibrahim Bey, used to work for the Turkish Airways, and we were going to sacrifice our Hajj and take him, you know, by the next plane to Istanbul. And he absolutely refused. He said, no, if he dies, he dies, and he will be dead in the Holy Land. And if he lives, he lives. And next day, no, he got better and he lived, yeah. But otherwise he was in a coma. I mean, I can give many, many examples like that. For instance, Dergah, if you remember, was a mess, a total mess. I mean, scorpions all around the place and the cat shit all around the place, you know. I mean, it's not like that today. Yeah? But the people, I mean, the people in his time, we were not too many. We were probably less than what we are here. We were about 40 people, you know, at the time of Muzaffar Efendi. But I mean, the people were really, I'm talking about dervishes, each and every one of them. But later I understood that he was absolutely right. I mean, after war, after all, you know, we are telling to people to, you know, have less of the world, right? And why should he be bothered whether they should be married or not, whether they were sick or not, you know, whether they had money or not? Yeah? But then he used to say, I want my people to eat baklava and sleep on feather beds in this world and also in the hereafter. That's also one of his sayings. So he wanted really his people to be comfortable in this world and also in the hereafter. Yet he really didn't give much thought about, you know, their lives in this world, and more he was working on their lives on the hereafter. So how come you know so much about Muzaffar Efendi?
Because after September 11, I started to try to understand what was happening. And I went to Sufi bookstore in Canal Street. And I met Sheikh Faria.
Sheikh
Faria.
Faria.
Yeah. I met Sheikh Faria. And I started to read about her teacher. And I learned Sheikh your teacher coming here because of you and her husband. This is detail. So, yeah, after September 11th, I meet your Tarika.
11 Eylül'den sonra,
ha?
11 Eylül'den sonra
evet.
Merak etmeye başladım Müslümanlığı, neler olup neler bittiği.
Evet.
Kendimi Kanal Caddesi'ndeki bir Sufi kitapçısında buldum.
Nerede caddesi?
Kanal Caddesi, Manhattan'da.
Aha, evet, evet.
Orada Feriha'yla tanıştım.
Hı hı.
Onun hocasının kim olduğunu merak ettim. Böylece Muzaffer Efendi'ye ulaştım.
Aha. Herhalde teyplerini falan dinledi. Ne?
Did you listen to his tapes? Did you listen to his tapes? Evet.
And he read the Irshad, I suppose?
Yes.
Irshad'ı da okumuş.
Good. Good. Very good.
And in my study, I have some conclusion. I don't know if you want to do this. So, in my study about your tarika, it's like you hold the knowledge from the Ottoman Empire. So, your tarika is very special. It's like you have some message to this time now. And I have this feeling that when Sheikh Mustafa came to here, they see the future here. They see that the heart of the American people have the vessel to transform this process. I can say nothing more because I'm not knowledgeable to say.
Tarikatınızın çok özel olduğunu düşünüyorum. Osmanlılar zamanında kurulmuş olmasına rağmen sizin mesajınız geleceğe yönelik, geleceğe dönük. Muzaffer Efendi de o aslında Osmanlılardan kalan geleneğin geleceğe yönelmiş mesajını adeta bir vasıta olarak bugünün insanına aktardı. Çok özel olduğunu düşünüyorum.
My last question: why Sheikh Mustafa put it your head? You have your what's this one?
Okay.
Why he put it in all female when he came to the West and when he went to the church? That church, you know, to have that beautiful, yeah. He make zikr with everybody together, like you are doing it here. Yes. Because if he did it here in America, he give the authority to my people in Brazil to do the same. Because we are one.
Rephrase that
he's
question.
No. I'm asking the Sheikh, why Sheikh Mustafa put the crown in our sisters in U.S.? And when he went to the church, my sister made this zika with my brothers, like one unity. If your master, your teacher do that here, in this land, this gives the same authority to my people, Brazilian people, do the same. Because we are one tarika, we are one community. So one community don't have to do things differently. It should be the head of the tarika. Do something, he's the master. So Sheikh Mustafa came to this land and did that in the church.
St. John the Divine.
You see, nobody can say no because he was there. So if he did that here in this land, in my view, maybe I don't understand, but if the master do that, it's done. Nobody can change. Nobody can question that. If you do that, you are, this is you.
Are you talking about this stuff here?
topics to ladies. We don't give out topics to ladies, and we don't have them.
I understand. So the doctor actually gave topics to people. Makes sense.
He gave the Taj to in this country. He gave the Taj to women, some women.
Yes.
In Mexico.
Yes.
And he made the zikr in the church here and there, France here.
But
in Brazil, no.
Yes, yes. No, because, no, what I mean say that, the point is, I was just the point, if he came to the West, the United States of America, you know, and behaved this way, this for me is one message. This is, he was show us how we have to behave in this land. Okay, because he's the teacher.
Hold on there for a second.
No.
I will come back. Diyor ki Muzaffer Efendi Amerika'ya geldiği zaman kilisede zikir yaptırdığı zaman hanımlara tacı şerif verdi. Biz de Brezilya'da onun yolunu izlememiz gerekir diyor. Bizim de Brezilya'da aynı şeyleri yapmamız lazım diyor. You can continue.
No, just
I'm
not closing my class because my when I study his teacher, all the time I'm a question, why he came here, what's the message, what he want to bring to us, to, you know, because he don't came here, just came, he came here to bring something, not just to
America. Yani benim göremediğim bir mesaj daha olmalı diyor.
Ha?
Bir mesaj daha arıyor, bir mesaj arıyor şu an. Yani bütün bu konuşulanların ötesinde buraya boşu boşuna gelmedi Muzaffer Efendi. Mutlaka bir mesajı vardı. Bu mesajla biraz önce söylediği arasında bir ilişki kurmaya çalışıyor galiba ama ben anlayamadım.
First. You talk, she talks about future. In Tariqat and in Islam, there is no future. In fact, I hear in the Arabic language, there is not even the future tense. It is only the present tense. The dervishes are supposed to be the sons and the daughters of the now.
So in Tariqa, did you hear what?
Yes.
Did you understand what I said?
Yes.
She understood everything.
Because as I said a bit earlier, none of us is sure what is going to be in the future except one thing, that we are going to die, which means that there is a hereafter, which means there is a day of last judgment. Me, I cannot even say I am going to wake up tomorrow. I have to say, inshallah, I will wake up tomorrow. So what is most important is how you are now and how you should be now. One of the things which we have to be now, my left hand now feels cool holding this metal. My right hand, two fingers feel the softness of my cigarette. And now I am going to pass the lighter to my right hand and my cigarette to the left hand. Now I am putting in my mouth and lighting the cigarette. Now this doesn't mean nothing. I am doing something which is makruh, which Allah Ta'ala doesn't like my smoking a cigarette. But you see, so what is important is that I know while I am going through this action that I am doing something which Allah Ta'ala doesn't like. And I am not very happy about it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So now, next moment is a total unknown to me. Yeah? So therefore I cannot think of next moment. I can only think of now. So this is one correction. Two, Tarikat-ı Cerrahiyya is only a branch of Tarikat-ı Halvetiyya. And Tarikat-ı Halvetiyya's origin is not Ottoman, you know, it is 13th century. And there are two kinds of tarikat. There is the Arabic tarikat, there is the Turkic tarikat. Now, most of the tarikats, for instance, Halvetiyya is a Turkic tarikat, you know, from Central Asia. So, second correction. Third correction is even what I just told you is wrong. Because there is only one tariqah, and tariqah is called Tariqat Muhammadiyya. That is the tariqah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The reason that there are 400 authentic tariqahs, you know, of approximately with the branches of 40 tariqahs, authentic tariqahs, is that the same thing, in short, the Tariqat of Muhammadiyya's message, yeah, has been given to different kinds of people in different languages. But when I mean languages, I don't mean German and Turkish or Portuguese. You know, I mean that, what is your profession?
I'm a dental.
What's your profession?
Dental.
Okay, you cannot talk to a dentist and you cannot talk to an artist and you cannot talk to a general and you cannot talk to a Hafiz of Quran with the same language, even if they all know Turkish or Arabic or English. You have to talk them in the language which they will understand. So that is why the same thing is told differently to a dentist, to an artist, to a general, to a religious man. Yeah? So therefore it has to be different tariqat with different music, with different ceremony and this and that. So in reality there is only one tariqat. Now, that one tariqah has its foundation at the time of Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then it passed to Hazrat Ali and to Hazrat Abu Bakr. Now, all the tariqahs are really from Hazrat Ali continued, and only one tariqah, that's Naqshbandiya, you know, from Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. Yeah? But they are both, you know, friends of and family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the reason that I am telling you that, the most important thing in Islam and in the tariqah is that we have to avoid bid'at. Bid'at, how do you call it in English?
Innovation.
Innovations. We have to do, we have to teach, we have to think, we have to act as the origin of things. We cannot add to it, we cannot subtract it. The Quran, not a dot has changed from the time of Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem. In Christianity, it has changed, it keeps changing. In Judaism, it has changed, it keeps changing. So the tariqat is the same thing. Whatever it was at the time of Hazreti Ali keremallahu veşehu, it has to be now. Islam, whatever it was at the time of Resulullah sallallahu aleyhi ve sellem, it has to do it now. We cannot add to it or subtract to it. Whoever adds to it or subtracts to it is doing wrong. Now, you talk about female sheikhs. Raise the hand of the ones who have got touch here amongst the ladies.
Please.
How many are there? Raise your hand. One, two, three, four. So what are you talking about? And there is saints during the time of early Islam. No? There has been saintly women. There has been famous saint Hazrat Radia radiallahu anh. So now if you judge Islam by the Saudis, well, they're other business. Well, they are Ahl Bidat if you ask me. You see, in Saudi Arabia, you can't have this. You see, the ladies are sitting here, and the men are sitting here, and we talk together. On the other hand, when we will now go to pray, the ladies are going to be together behind us. That's how it was, that's how it is. Now, the Saudis say that that is not how it was, but we know as a fact, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were 12 women who were scribes. And we owe to those mothers of ours that the Quran al-Kareem, you know, was written by them. At the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like that. No? There were 12 women sitting there down, and as the revelations came, they used to, or as the hadith, no, they used to write it down. There were more women who knew how to read and write than there were men, obviously. Yeah. Because if there were 12 women writing down, there must have been more of them. But of course, somebody is going to, say that wasn't true. Yeah. Hadi. Namaz, I have to take it. No, do I have to do it? No, I have to do it.
Hard to remember, huh? But the answer is good.
Who is this? I don't give. No. I don't give.